Hey, good morning. It's Patricia Murphy. It's Monday. This is Seattle Now. They don't quite have the spiciness of this year's city attorney's race, but two citywide council races will still have a lot to do with how Seattle takes on its biggest challenges. We'll hear more from Crosscut's David Croman in a minute, but first, let's get you caught up. Expect more rain and wind today, but not as intense as yesterday's storm. Sunday was pretty dramatic. 51-mile-an-hour gusts at Seattle's Boeing Field. More than 100,000 metro area customers lost power. Calmer today, but still, the National Weather Service says there could be gusts up to 30 miles an hour. Seattle's race for mayor is getting nasty. Bruce Harrell's campaign says a new attack ad from challenger Lorena Gonzalez is racist and misrepresents his position. The ad hits Harrell for not calling for the resignation of disgraced former mayor Ed Murray and accuses him of discrediting sexual assault victims. More than 36 community leaders are calling for Gonzalez to take the ad down. In a statement to the Seattle Times, Gonzalez's campaign said they said what they said, and the ad will stay. And the Kraken will get another shot at their first win on home ice tomorrow night. They lost the home opener to Vancouver 4-2 Saturday at Climate Pledge Arena. We need a nickname for Climate Pledge, and the team is giving a thumbs down to the Crack House. The team's intersectionality consultant tweeted over the weekend, "We do not condone or support the use of referring to our home as the Crack House or any variation of such. Words and phrasing matter." Got a better idea? Write us at seattlenow@kuow.org. Just over a week to go until the election. Today, we're talking about two citywide council races voters will decide. David Croman covers City Hall for Crosscut. Hey, David.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Two council seats up for grabs, one open race because Lorena Gonzalez is running for mayor, and one incumbent running for re-election, Teresa Mosqueda, in the position 8 race. Let's start there. Will you sum this up for us?
Yeah, so Teresa Mosqueda is the incumbent, as you mentioned. This would be she's running for her second term. She has backing from basically everyone that an incumbent would want to have backing from. Strong labor support, raising a lot of money. You know, she doesn't have a lot of business support. The business community is a little disenchanted with her, but they're also not really kind of going all in on her opponent, which in her world is basically this, you know, as much as she could probably ask for. She won her primary over 50%, which is always a really good sign if you are an incumbent or running. If you get over 50% in the primary, that puts you in a pretty good position. By contrast, her opponent, Kenneth Wilson, is completely unknown to politics before this year. And, you know, I think of all of the races, you don't want to make predictions about anything. Of all of the races, I think the kind of general assumption is Teresa Mosqueda should be in the strongest position to win re-election. But, you know, it's kind of an odd year. There's a lot of tension, so things could be surprising.
Also, I keep seeing homelessness and policing as top of mind for most people. Yet Kenneth Wilson is talking a lot about the West Seattle Bridge.
Right. Yeah. Polling consistently shows that the number one issue is homelessness in Seattle. And then also topics that kind of relate to that, housing affordability, housing supply, close on the heels of that, policing and public safety. But as you mentioned, Kenneth Wilson seems to have gotten into the race on a platform calling for basically a speedier opening to the West Seattle Bridge, which is an interesting strategy because I think there is a lot of frustration out there around homelessness and policing and public safety. So if you were trying to unseat an incumbent, you know, generally people who are running against people in City Hall right now run on that, which is they're failing on homelessness or public safety. I'm not convinced a lot of people blame Teresa Mosqueda for the West Seattle Bridge, but Kenneth Wilson is an engineer, and so, you know, he's running on what he knows.
The other race, position 9, also a citywide seat. This one does present some pretty clear choices on which way the city should go on homelessness, policing, and housing. Nikita Oliver and Sarah Nelson. Give me the too long didn't read version of this one.
The too long didn't read. Both former candidates, Nikita Oliver for mayor in 2017, Sarah Nelson for city council in 2017. Sarah Nelson has all of the backing of what has become known as kind of the moderate candidates in Seattle. You can quibble over whether moderate is the right term, but the people whom business tend to support, Sarah Nelson is herself a business owner of Fremont Brewing, is running on this platform of, as we mentioned before, City Hall is failing on homelessness, moving too rashly on public safety, needs to do more to clear the streets of tent encampments and things like that. A little more hesitant on strong tenant right bills, definitely more hesitant on certain taxes, that sort of thing. Nikita Oliver, by contrast, was in a lot of ways the face of the protests that happened in 2020. And Oliver is a very well-known activist and also has, since their run in 2017, has stayed pretty involved in community efforts and kind of grassroots organizing and things like that. And I think as a result has built up a pretty solid base of support. Oliver, as they've done in past, is running on and basically an abolitionist platform, which I think that term has more nuance than people sometimes give it credit. But basically that the goal is to eventually get to a point where at least 50% and maybe more of the police department can and should be defunded, basically. And Oliver is saying that they will push for that by funding more upstream programs and keeps a very kind of holistic upstream view towards a lot of the city's biggest problems.
With a week to go, though, what are the polls revealing about both of these races?
Unfortunately, we don't have enough polls. Polls really should be read in groups. You know, ideally, we would have 10 polls and we'd kind of take a poll of those polls. So it's hard to say exactly. What we have seen, though, is surprisingly that while some of the other progressive candidates up for election, so Lorena Gonzalez and Nicole Thomas Kennedy, the polls show them really in kind of a tenuous spot, struggling to gain traction against their more moderate opponents. That is not the case for Oliver. The polls have shown that they are within the margin of error of Sarah Nelson, a little bit behind, but not enough to say that it's a clear race one way or the other. And, you know, I mentioned Oliver's base of support. I think in some ways, probably what we're seeing is that Oliver's a really well-known name.
Former mayoral candidate.
And never really left the public eye. Some people run for office and kind of disappear for a while. And I think you could argue that was kind of the case for Sarah Nelson, whereas Nikita Oliver was protesting, was in City Hall a lot, you know, has continued to be a fairly well-known name. And so I think we're seeing some of that in the polling. Their candidacy is a little bit more buoyed than some of the other progressive candidacies.
Of course, we're talking about 2 seats out of 9 on the council here. And I wonder how much change we're really talking about.
Yeah, it's a good point. And I think some people lose track of that, which is after this election, there will still be a progressive city council because 7 seats are not up for re-election this year. Most of those seats are occupied by people that were probably the more left candidates in their respective races. And so 2 city council races isn't going to change the dynamic that much. But at the same time, the mayor's office is a big deal. And whoever that mayor is, you know, is going to need allies in city council. And we'll kind of get into this question of how big certain majorities are. Will the progressives have a veto-proof majority? So that's pretty much at stake. So not a drastic change, but it could affect just how freely the city council can legislate in the kind of progressive lefty way that they like to do.
Yeah. And of course, right after we get through this election, there's another one coming up in just a few months. Council member Shama Sawant is facing a recall. And if you put it all together, there is some potential for change here, no?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you can think of the range of possibilities here, which is a city council with at least 2 open abolitionists and a city attorney who is an open abolitionist. So 3 elected abolitionists and a progressive mayor. Or on the other hand, you could have the kind of, you know, nationally famous socialist on the city council be recalled, the abolitionists lose, and we have a Republican Seattle city attorney. So those are 2 pretty different realities that we're looking at right now. So, you know, amending my statement about how much drastic change these city council races do or do not portend, the reality is we could have 2 very different looking city governments come January 2022.
Well, say it again. The most important thing you can do is vote. David Croman covers City Hall for Crosscut. Really good to talk to you. Thank you.
Good to talk to you.
Thanks for listening today. And hey, KUOW's fall membership drive is still happening. You count on us to bring you the news each morning, and we count on you to help make it possible. Make a gift that works for you at kuow.org/donate, and thanks. Jason Pagano produced today's show. Our production team is Jenny Cecil Moore, Caroline Chamberlain Gomez, Diana Opong, and Claire McGrain. Matt Jorgensen does our theme music. I'm Patricia Murphy.